hear your voice again. Big news in GM. I saw from your column in yesterday's Detroit Free Press, there's really two stories here I want to talk about, the new management team. But before that, I want to talk about GM going public. The first paragraph of your column is very intriguing. It states, barely a year after surviving a forced bankruptcy, General Motors asked investors Wednesday to bet on a new management team, and also they want to go public. Talk about this. Why is it such a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal because, you know, there's such a symbolic corporation in American history in every other way, and suddenly, bang, the government has to bail them out, and that's a very controversial thing. Some people hate the notion of it, say they would never buy a car from, you know, government motors and all this stuff. And they need to get rid of that stigma and move on to the next chapter. And selling stock is all part of that. And depending on how successful that stock sale is, depends, you know, on whether the taxpayers get paid back and feel better that this was a good thing to do.
Well, what's interesting about this, Tom, it reminds me of the days of Lee Iacocca and his company, Chrysler, when he needed help, and Chrysler was able to get out of debt in a pretty quick manner and pay back the money they borrowed.
Chrysler was a great success story. People think about that historically, and they think about it in the same terms. This is actually quite a different situation. Chrysler was certainly in trouble, but the U.S. government never owned Chrysler Corporation, never even owned any stock in Chrysler Corporation. All the U.S. government did back in late 79, early 80 was to guarantee some loans. In other words, if Chrysler didn't pay back the loans, the government would guarantee it. But the government never pumped our money into saving the company through $50 billion in like they did into GM. And as you say, Chrysler hit on a couple of hot cars, the K cars, and Iacocca was the pitch man on TV, and they bounced back, and it was a good story. In fact, Chrysler was sort of asking the government later, maybe you don't want to take back everything that you can in terms of the stock warrants. The government made a lot of money on that deal, and Ronald Reagan said, hey, we're taking back everything we're owed in this deal, and it all worked out well.
Well, as you talk about in your column in yesterday's Detroit Free Press, the stock offering could be one of the largest in U.S. history. The stock will be listed on the New York and Toronto exchanges, reflecting GM's intent to pay back the U.S. and Canadian taxpayers who coughed up more than $50 billion to keep the company afloat. Is it going to work?
Well, that's the question. I think they will go public. The market's a little soft right now. It's a little skittish. There's a question about whether it's really a good market to do this in. I think as much as they say the timing is not political, the fact is that everybody at GM wants to go back to not being owned by the government. Everybody in the government wants to be out of GM. Obama doesn't want this hanging around. The Democrats don't want it hanging around as they go into midterm elections. So if they could show some more progress and say, okay, we're starting to sell stock, they're not going to sell all of it by Election Day in November. They may not sell any of it by Election Day in November. But if they keep marching down the path and that says, okay, you know, we're starting to sell this stuff. For example, if they sell about 20% of the government ownership in stage one, then they would be down from like 61% ownership down to 48 or 49, so they wouldn't be a majority owner anymore. The idea being the public would start to get comfortable with the idea of, okay, the government's, they had to jump in, now they're phasing out, and that's a good thing.
Tom, what happens, if I was to play devil advocate, what happens if no one wants to buy it?
Well, and, you know, that's a possibility. That's the difference between debt and equity. I had somebody an emailer yesterday saying, you know, how can you say they're not, you know, they don't have any debt anymore? And debt is something that you pay back on a fixed schedule with a fixed interest rate and everything. And that's not what equity is. And when the government had to come in and say, we have to take an ownership stake here, they did that knowing that ownership stake could be worth nothing. If GM, there was a lot of people didn't think GM would ever come out of bankruptcy when they went in a year ago. And so that could, it could be nothing, or we could get back 10 cents on the dollar, or the stock market could go crazy. GM could go well. Cars could come back. GM could be making a lot of money, and we could, GM could, GM stock might be worth $200 billion instead of $50 billion. You don't know. There's a big upside, but there's also a big downside, and you don't know until you start selling the stock.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh. Tom, your column also talks about how, despite a crummy economy, as you word it, GM made $2.2 billion in profits during the first half of this year. What helped them make that money?
Well, that, you know, that's the good side of the story. In a previous column, I said this is more than a successful government intervention. This is a miracle what happened to these companies in a year. I mean, General Motors had lost $88 billion in 4 years prior to the bankruptcy. And a year later, you know, people said, oh, they can't get out of bankruptcy in a year even, and they did it in 30 days, and now they're profitable. Now that basically they were able to unload a lot of costs, a lot of structural costs. They renegotiated their labor contracts. They got rid of a lot of debt. Everybody, the bondholders took a haircut. The dealers took a haircut. The suppliers, everybody. So their costs are a lot lower. They've let a lot of people go. They've streamlined. They only have four brands instead of eight. And what that's enabled them to do, they're just a lot leaner and more efficient, is to make money in a market where cars are still selling at, you know, there's 40% fewer cars being sold today than there were 2 years ago. So it's still a very soft market, but GM is making money, Ford's making even more money, and Chrysler's even at break-even, and, you know, Chrysler's got not much new product out there.
Well, we've talked about GM going public. They're going to be led by a new management team led by Dan Akerson, who's the CEO. You call him hard charging, although he doesn't have a lot of automotive experience. You think he's right now the perfect guy to help GM get through this the process of not only changing management but going public.
Well, whether he's the perfect guy or not, I don't know. But he is a guy that Wall Street will have confidence in, because he's a guy who has run several companies, Nextel, some telecom companies, and he's been a managing director at Carlyle Group, which is arguably the best or one of the top track records of any of these big giant private equity firms. I mean, they've been returning 30% a year to their share to their investors for a very long time. They know how to make money for their investors. So that gives Wall Street confidence, because you want Wall Street to get excited about this stock offering. You want some of the big institutions to say, okay, we have to have some GM stock in our portfolio. So, because a lot of people will say, well, who cares about Wall Street? You know, it's what about the common guy? Wall Street always makes their money. But for the stock thing to go, if the big institutions on Wall Street are excited, then the man on the street will say, maybe I ought to buy some GM stock too. If the man on the street buys the stock, the price gets better. Eventually, GM gets healthier. The government's gone. More people buy their cars. And, you know, it's a domino effect. And this guy, Dan Akerson, is a very serious, hard-driving guy. The biggest fear of anybody that people have about buying GM stock after all the ups and downs that they've been through is, oh, gee, when are they going to go back to their old bad habits? And a lot of people think Akerson is the kind of guy who won't let that happen.
And, Tom, as we let you go, final question for you. What does this do for Detroit? Does this make Detroit shine? Does this give Detroit more credibility?
Well, it's essential for, you know, as a building block to rebuild Detroit. Detroit's obviously got a host of problems, and they're not going to go away if GM has a good stock offering. But I've said for a long time that, you know, no political figure, no governor, nobody could do anything about this Michigan economy, Detroit economy, unless until we finally found bottom in the auto industry. We had to figure out at what level is this industry going to stabilize. You know, is GM going to be gone? Is Chrysler going to be gone? Or are they going to survive at a smaller level and then be able to rebuild from there? Hopefully we're at that level now. We have seen some new hiring by GM and Chrysler putting extra people on shifts. Ford's adding a shift in Chicago. And, you know, there's talk actually that GM's going to put some more product in Lansing there. So this is a good base to build on. But it's a long, hard slog for Detroit. It's not going to be a magic bullet that's going to save everything.
And for folks who want to read Tom's pieces, just go to detnews.com, pull up Tom.
Nope.
No?
Freep.com.
Or excuse me, freep.com. What am I thinking of? Go to freep.com, pull up Tom Walsh, and all that great information is there. Tom, thanks so much. Look forward to talking with you again.
Okay, Tony, take care.